It's lovely to see you all here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this superb Owl Sunday. I guess I should be thankful. I know a lot of you are not thrilled that the big game starts later, but that just means that I get to see your smiling faces. Just a few announcements for you. I will be on study leave starting tomorrow to prepare for Lent. I will be available. You can reach out to me. I just won't be like in the office. I'll be around, but you know, trying to make things easier for me, quite honestly, for Lent. So there's that. If you would like to join Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, if you are not a member, Easter is the traditional time of Christians joining the church. So if you are interested in joining, and maybe you are worried about being up here alone and being the center of attention, I can promise you, you will not be completely alone or the center of attention. So if you're interested, please come see me, and we will work something out for you. That said, Ash Wednesday is coming up. That is the 22nd of February. There will be just a short imposition of ashes service at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And then there will also be a 7 p.m. full service, including the Lord's Supper, here at Glenshaw Valley. That's at 7. So I made an afternoon one just because I know there are a lot of people who don't like to drive when it's dark. So I just wanted to make that option available for you. During Lent, we will have Sunday school right before worship starts, so like 9:30. In the library, and for that we'll be learning about different spiritual practices. Lent is a good time to think about spiritual practices and to sort of, you know, get a little more in depth. That's a good way to deepen your relationship with God. So that will start February 26th. And then the Lenten Bible study, there will be a midweek Bible study at 1:30 on Wednesdays, starting March 1st. And I'll send out another email to remind you about that. But just so you know about that. We do have the craft show. The Women's Association craft show is coming up on March 18th. So just, you know, keep that in your head. And we will be asking for baked goods for the bake sale for that. You can see Carol or BJ if you want to participate in that in any way. Any other announcements that are not in the bulletin?
Kristen, building boards. If people can,
yes,
reports to either Heather or I.
Reports. Yes. If you have reports that are due, end of the year reports, you need to give those to Lynn or to Heather Perman as soon as possible, but no later than March 12th? 5th. March 5th. No later than March 5th, because we will be having a congregational meeting later in March, the 26th?
Yes.
You'll hear about it later. It's far enough away that you don't need the exact stuff. Thank you. Anything else I'm missing? All right. With all of that, family, let us gather together to proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. We are called to turn the other cheek. So we will seek to be vulnerable in our lives of faith and service. We are called to go the extra mile. So we will walk with those around us in the journeys of hope as well as fear. We are called to love those who make that so hard. So we will rely on the one who loves us to fill us with that special grace. Please rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. Trusting in divine mercy, we confess our faults before God and one another by saying, Holy God, your law shows the way of righteousness, but we forsake your commandments. We have not provided for the poor or aided the disabled. We have not been truthful in our daily business. We have been unjust in our judgment of others. We have sought vengeance against our enemies. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us our sins and rouse us to sincere repentance. By the power of your Holy Spirit, free us to live as your holy people with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the good news. We belong to Christ. He is the one who comes bringing life and hope to all. Because we belong to Christ, we belong to God. The Holy One is also the Merciful One, who fills our hearts with love. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
World.
Amen. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. God of grace and steadfast love, we thank you for our life and that we share it in a community. We thank you for calling us to ministries of hope and compassion. We pray for your grace to do all that you ask of us, to choose life, to love you and our neighbors without reserve, not half-heartedly, but with our whole selves. Holy God, we bring before you the cares, concerns, and the joys that occupy us. We remember before you those who are at odds with one another, in families, in neighborhoods or offices, in communities and in the church, and across political aisles and deep-seated divisions. We pray for nations in the midst of internal and external conflicts, and all of those who suffer because of the conflict of violence and terror. We pray for the people of Turkey and Syria affected by an earthquake. At the last count, there were over 28,000 people who have died, and many, many more who are injured. We remember before you today those who have physical needs, people who fear for their safety and well-being, people who are hungry or thirsty, people who are exhausted by the demands of work or caregiving, people who are sick or who will undergo surgery, people who live with chronic pain. Bring relief and rest, we pray. Remember those weighed down with needs of heart and soul, a worry that keeps us awake at night, grief that accompanies us everywhere we go, depression that clouds us or an addiction that grips us and those that we love. Lift all of these heavy burdens with the light and peace of your presence, we pray. Sustain us over the long journey toward health and wholeness and give us trust in you, ourselves, and those who love us. We remember before you not only our cares, but also our joys, all things that are life-giving. AJ thanks you all for very much for your prayers throughout the week and that he has gone through his procedure and is doing well. We thank you for all other joys, birthdays, anniversaries, babies, new jobs, new relationships, and a day of your mercies. We give thanks that with you there is always a new beginning, a way where there is no way, hope beyond hope, and life beyond death. Give us the courage to trust you as we choose your life-giving path, praying as you teach us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please arise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, The Gift of Love. be seated. God gives out of God's abundance. Let us respond in joy to God's generosity with our own abundant giving. Gracious God, we will not only offer our gifts, but follow you all the extra miles needed so that the hungry might be fed, the homeless might be sheltered, and your compassion would be showered on all of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Matthew 5, 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Please pray with me. Loving God, anoint us with your Holy Spirit as we hear your word this day. Fill us with your truth that we may walk in the ways of God and to the glory of your realm. Amen. So the underlying message in Matthew 5, like the whole of Matthew 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount. That whole underlying message is that if we live into God's way of loving our neighbor and God's understanding of who our neighbor is, we have the power to transform the whole world. In these last few verses of the chapter, Jesus gives us some really difficult directions to follow. Jesus offers up a law that the listeners at the time would have been very familiar with. It's called Lex Talionis. That's Latin for the law of retaliation. Obviously, they didn't use the term Lex Talionis at that time, but it's this law of retaliation that when Jesus says, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth," that's Lex Talionis. Jewish listeners would have understood that from Torah passages like in Exodus 21, Leviticus 24, and Deuteronomy 19. But this law of retaliation, Lex Talionis, goes back even farther to the Code of Hammurabi. It's written around 1750 BCE. It was written in cuneiform, on a black stone pillar. Some of that is on the background of the picture here. It's not very tall. It's probably about that tall. And it kind of comes out a little bit at the bottom. But it's, you know, like a pillar, not an exact round, not that that matters. But at the top of the relief is this picture. It's a relief, like a cutout of Hammurabi with the Babylonian god of justice, Shamash. And that's the picture here in front of the cuneiform. So one of the reasons that this Lex Talionis, that this law of retaliation was needed, even way back in Hammurabi's time in Babylonia, is because people tend to take things to the extreme, especially when they feel that they have been wronged. You've heard the stories throughout history. Even hear them today. Someone is injured, and their family or their friends or their country retaliate by declaring war on the perpetrator's tribe. And this just becomes this never-ending cycle where the instances of revenge just keep on escalating. Lex Talionis says, let's take it down a few notches. Let's slow down here. Why don't we make the punishment fit the crime? If someone pokes my eye out, the response shouldn't be an all-out war, but something proportional to my injury. But this is also a law of mercy that's meant for judges to carry out. It's not really supposed to be for individuals privately. And it also like wasn't really literally carried out. Like, you losing an eye doesn't do anything to restore my sight. We like to think that our judicial system has come a lot farther than this, like almost 4,000-year-old concept. And in many ways it has, right? But, you know, we still have the death penalty. Jesus tells us that this eye for an eye thing, this Lex Talionis, that's not what God wants either. If someone strikes you, don't hit them back. Not only don't hit them back, but offer them another strike. If someone sues you, just give them even more than is required. If someone makes you walk 1 mile with them, go 2 miles. If someone asks you for something and you have it, give it to them. Oh, and also, you know, love your enemies and make sure that you pray for them. Like, genuinely, not like, oh, I'll pray for you. I don't know about you, but all of this seems, seems like an overkill in the opposite direction of the pre-Lex Talionis days. I'm supposed to, like, just let people walk all over me? Abuse me? I'm supposed to be a pushover? Let people take everything that I own? And then pray for good things for these people on top of all of that? Like, don't worry, you're not the first to think that that can't possibly be what Jesus meant. We Christians have been coming up with spectacular strategies for avoiding Jesus' commands for a long time. For instance, like, these are obviously impossible standards. But, like, if we just strive towards them, you know, they're impossible to actually attain. But if we strive towards them, we live better than we would have otherwise. Or how about this? Jesus is speaking to those disciples in that time and place. This doesn't really work for our modern world where we have complex relationships and global economics. One of my favorite explanations for this passage, and the way that I chose to understand it for a long time, was these words were meant to empower oppressed people. When you can't force people to treat you justly, expose the injustice. When striking back is only going to get you hurt, confront the aggressor without retaliating. When your debts are out of control, show how your poverty leaves you without any sort of protection. When your occupier demands your labor, put him in an impossible situation by going above the conventional expectations. Show the world that you are undeserving of these attacks and the injustice will be righted. And we might very well be exposing injustice when we do these things. But make no mistake, Jesus meant what he said. Retaliation, however controlled and restricted, has no place in Christian life. Lex Talionis isn't justice. Injustice paid with injustice isn't justice. Violence met with violence isn't justice. At the same time, though, we're not romanticizing our enemies or downplaying the difficulty of non-retaliation. The Gospel of Matthew was written by and for people under savage persecution. The enemy that we're talking about here we're not talking about the neighbor who built their fence half a foot on your property, but a Roman soldier with the power of actual life or death over you, who is commandeering your labor And you have to do two times what he asks as a Christian. Lex talionis is replaced in our Christian lives by forgiveness. Christ exemplified this for us from the cross when he said, in a time of his most excruciating pain, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Matthew 5 is a blueprint for the life of the church. Jesus has come not to abolish the laws of the Old Testament, but to fulfill them. And he brings about a new way to understand the law. The law isn't a set of rules, but the law is a way of life. It's about living with God and living with a God, and living with God requires us to live with other people. Jesus clearly cares about how we treat one another. Following the letter and the spirit of the law is tough enough on its own. And then Jesus goes and ups the ante by drawing that circle of inclusion even wider. I mean, let's be honest, us folks here, we're good. We're law-abiding citizens. As far as I know, we're not out there robbing and maiming people. We don't openly hate and ridicule our neighbors. But there are some pretty subtle ways that we hate our neighbors. Those easy assumptions, the ways that we dismiss or ignore or brush away our neighbor's plight. The stereotype and ignorance under which we judge people that aren't like us. We can't love people if we're not willing to get to know them. And we can't get to know them if we're not willing to step out of our secure personal spaces and our cultural comfort zones. We can't begin to love people if we don't get close enough to see the image of God and the face of Christ within them. No one, not even Jesus, said that all of this is easy. That living in a world with lex talionis flipped on its head, Jesus never said that that was going to be a walk in the park. That offering the other cheek, giving up your coat, walking a second mile, loving your enemies, none of that comes naturally to us. We are given the law, and Jesus interprets the law for us so that we might remember it is God who leads us. It is God who guides us. It is God who gives us life. And these sayings express the inherent rule of the kingdom of God and God's ultimate way of dealing with humanity, which is exhibited in the life and death of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I was warned by Mickey that our closing hymn is new, and I know how hard new things are, but you might want to, because it's new, use your hymnal to follow the notes, but also Mickey and the choir are here to help you out, so don't be afraid, try something new. Rise in body or spirit and join us in our closing hymn, Help Us Accept Each Other. so proud of you. You did a great job. All right, before we go back into the world and we prepare for our superb owl parties, let me offer you a charge and benediction. Go in the name of Jesus to love friend and enemy, neighbor and stranger, the righteous and the lost. May Christ, the sure foundation, uphold you. May the Spirit, holy wisdom, guide you. May God, perfect love, grant you peace. Amen.